Welcome to You've Got This with Sarah Hammaker, a podcast to encourage and equip moms along their parenting journey. Join Sarah each week as she interviews dads and moms like you and discusses the joys, challenges, and rewards of raising kids.
Hi, and welcome to this week's You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammaker, and I am delighted that you join me. Today I have with me Elaine Taylor Klaus. She is an author, parent educator, and certified coach. She's also the co-founder of Impact ADHD, and she's going to talk a little bit more about some changes with that. And we're just going to talk today about the coach approach to parenting, which I think both of us, this is how we coach parents, and it's really a helpful way to help our kids. So welcome to my show, Elaine.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here.
So let's just dive right in. We're recording this in mid to late May, and I say that because when this airs, things may look a little different, and we may or may not be out of house arrest. That's kind of how my kids were saying it. We feel like we're arrested. We have to stay home. I'm like, okay, we don't have to have ankle bracelets. We're really okay.
I was going to say, maybe those ankle bracelets might be the transition on the way out of here. They never need to know that it was our idea.
Right. Yeah, I know. That might be really great. So parents, if you need to take that little tidbit, take it and run. It's never too late. So I just say that because some of the things we may talk about, our circumstances may have changed. But
exactly.
We're all kind of coming out of this pandemic and whenever we emerge from here with kind of a realization that, hey, some of the things we're doing in our homes is just not working right. So let's talk a little bit about why thinking about being a coach can kind of transform the way we relate to our kids.
I love that. So as you say that, what comes up for me is that, you know, the reason I love coaching is that it's an empowerment way of being in the world, right? So coaching is about helping people see what they want and what they need to do to achieve it. And when we think about that from a parenting perspective, if we start inviting parents to think of themselves as, we call it taking a coach approach, because we're not training parents to be coaches, right? We want parents to be parents.
Yes, definitely.
But with a coach approach, that means we see our kids as independent beings, and we want to empower them to figure out what they want in life and figure out what they need to do to get there, right, to reach their full potential. And that's ultimately what coaching is about, and that's what parenting is about, if you think about it. Like, our goal is to raise adults, not keep them as children.
Yes, and one of the things that when you talk about coaching, it's when you think about why you hire a coach for your kid, to help them with this, learn a sport technique, to help them, you know, tutors are basically coaches, and things like that. It's because your child needs a little additional help in a certain area. It's not always a negative thing. It's not always a positive thing. It just is an area of need. And when we think about coaching our kids, it's more in the area of need that we see. Like, one of my children really struggles with anger. He just has a really hard time, and he's gotten better, but he has a really hard time with knowing how to manage that emotion. When I stop yelling at him about that, because let's face it, when people get angry,
it works, right?
I know, that really worked, and I'm a coach, and I'm just like, keeping it honest here, Elaine. Sometimes I don't always do as I say when those kids that think it's under our skin. But when I just stop for a minute and realize, and he told me, he's like, I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and a little light bulb went off. This is like several years ago. And I was like, oh, right. I need to coach you on how to do this right.
Right. Well, and what comes up is like, no, you don't know. And I can help you with that.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Now that I understand what's really going on, what the underlying issue is, I can do something about that. I can support you in that. But if all I'm focusing on is you need to stop being angry, that's all about me.
Yes. Right?
That's not helping our kids at all. But if I can get over there and focus over there on what are you struggling with, and what, and my job as a parent is to help you figure out how to manage the things you're struggling with in life. and to learn to overcome them and to learn to problem solve. So, I mean, helping a kid manage anger is a great example because there's something that's causing them to be angry,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're going to get angry again and again in life, and so we want to help them learn to navigate that instead of just pretending it's not okay to be angry, because that ain't real.
Right, or just acting like they should be able to problem solve it all by themselves.
Right, because if they knew how, they wouldn't be handling it that way.
Right, most of the time, yeah, because we know how and we don't handle it that well, but most of the time, this is our goal, most of the time. And what I find is that so many times, you know, parents, we just want it to stop, and we forget that, you know, they don't have, or their brains are not as developed as ours, mm-hmm. so they cannot problem solve like we can.
Yep.
And, you know, depending on their personalities, they may not be able to think of alternatives in
right.
the moment. So we need to do that practice. So with my, we'll just use my, you know, son with his anger, I helped him think about, well, what could you do instead of, you know, lashing out verbally and sometimes physically to his younger brother, who
right.
always has happened. They play well together most of the time.
Until they don't.
Until yeah. they don't. And I said, so what could you do differently? And also helping him recognize, you know, his anger cues. Well, what is your body doing before you erupt? And so we had lots of, and so I became alongside him. It was more of a, I'm on your side with this because I, not that I don't want you to be angry ever again, but you need to learn to manage this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's work together because you're having trouble with this.
So when I think about what you're describing, the way that I like to talk about it is walking parents through the process of problem solving.
Yes.
Right? So,
yeah.
Because it's a process to solve a problem. Like, what take you know, if you deconstruct what you just shared, here's the behavior that I want to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
We call that taking aim. So what's the next step is to get curious. What's behind that behavior? Is he getting angry because of something the little brother did? Is he getting angry because he's frustrated that he can't do something he wants to do? Is he getting angry because there's something nagging at him with a shirt that's fitting wrong, or like I don't even know what,
yeah.
you know, it could be so many things. But when we get curious and understand what's driving the behavior, then we can help them get creative, brainstorm, problem solve solutions for that behavior. But if we just try to apply a solution before we understand what's really going on, it may work, but it probably won't.
Right.
Because it's not designed to address the problem. And when we walk the kids through a process of problem solving, that's really what the coach approach is. Not only do we help them learn to do it and build that muscle, but then they become capable of ultimately doing it on their own, which is the goal.
Right. And most coaches, they're not always telling the kids how to do something.
Mm-mm.
You know, they're like, okay, well, you know, show me how you dribble the ball, if we're talking about soccer, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach may say, well, you know, how does that feel to you? You know, are you getting the ball where you want it to go? Because they've learned that just telling a kid you need to do it this way and this is the only way might not work for that kid. If the kid is left-footed, you know, left-handed, he may have a different perspective than the right-handed person, and you may dribble differently, a more dominant foot. And you have to kind of figure out all these different pieces. And so helping your child problem solve for himself and not like dictate to him what he can do, because what works
mm-hmm.
for one kid, you know, I have four children, Elaine, and
yep.
they
mm-hmm.
all right. handle things differently.
Yeah. Well, and the way to get to that, you know, and it's funny because I always say the mark of a good parent is when all of your kids are really different from each other.
Oh.
Right? When they come out as cookie cutters of each other,
yes,
right?
Something's not going on. Yeah.
Going on. But the way to do that, what you just modeled, is to ask questions. Right.
Yes.
And Diane and I often say, ask, don't tell.
Yes.
Right. We have this tendency to tell our kids what to do, how to do it, when to do it, why to do it. Right. We tell a lot. And it's kind of an occupational hazard because when they're really little, they need us to tell.
Yes,
them,
exactly.
Right? But then we get stuck in that phase of parenting. And we really want to invite parents to that second, that next stage of parenting, where we're beginning to collaborate a little bit, and we're beginning to share ownership. And the best tool for doing that is to ask questions. You know, how does, is your, the dribbling example, how does it feel when you do that? What happens when you try this? And it doesn't matter if it's something physical like dribbling a soccer ball. And I have to tell you, you said dribbling, and I thought basketball, and then you said soccer. It was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's the right term. None of my kids played, but I've heard enough people talk. Yeah.
but, you know, you can dribble a ball with your hands.
You can, too. You can do that as well.
So it could be physical. It can be, you know, how does it feel when you, when someone, when you talk to someone that way, when someone talks to you that way? So it could be about communication. It could be emotional. I mean, it can, it shows up in all different areas. But when we ask questions like, what do you think you might want to try? Not what are you going to do about it, mm-hmm. but what are some of your options? Or what are three things you could try? Or, you know, anything that opens up, even if a kid comes back to you and says, I don't know, you then have some capacity to come back and say, well, I have some ideas. Would you like to hear about it? Again,
yeah.
asking a question
yeah.
so that they're inviting you to guide them instead of deciding they need our guidance.
Well, I always also liken it to, you know, the success of the, to have more success in even trying some of the solutions. You know, I mean, how do you feel when someone says, you should do it this way, and it's just, it's not a good fit for you, and
exactly.
and you don't want to. I mean, I'm the kind of person who says, don't tell me how to do it. I want to figure it out for myself. And, you know, our kids are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them may be more compliant on the outside than others, and may be fine, but if you allow them, okay, why don't, here's some ideas from you, here's some ideas from me, let, and then pick one or two and try it the next time you're angry or you're whatever you're trying to help problem solve, let them problem solve, and then, you know, try it and come back and say, well, how did that work? You know, were you able to not lash out at your brother?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? Well, no. Well, what went wrong? You know, those kind of, and those, but that takes more time.
It does take time. But you know, this is parenting.
Yes. Like, no, I agree, Elaine. I'm just saying, I think that is part of the thing. And I'm hoping that all this, you know, stay-at-home stuff, nothing else to do, is helping parents realize it may take a little more time to do this, but it pays off huge dividends.
Yeah, so much. The example that came up today, and I was actually talking to my 23-year-old daughter about it afterwards, was I was talking to a client of mine who was starting to do some coaching with me, and she said, you know, I paid for my kids to do braces. Why wouldn't I invest in something like this that's going to have such a long-term impact?
Yeah.
And it was such a great conversation because, you know, braces are visual,
mm-hmm.
right? You can see, you put the braces on, you see the before and after pictures, and so we know it's going to last a lifetime.
Yeah.
And this approach is the same way because this is about how we communicate with each other, and we are in relationship with each other
yes.
forever, we hope.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we want, right? We didn't have kids so that they would go off and never talk to us again. We want to be in relationship with our kids. And when we begin to think about that consciously and create the kind of relationship we want when they're younger, I can speak from experience how that relationship matures and blossoms as they become a young adult. It's just, it's glorious. It's better than I ever could have imagined to be able to be in a kind of a relationship with my young adult kids that's respectful and mutual and collaborative, and it's just extraordinary, and it all comes from this foundational approach, which is let's respect each other and work together as a team.
Yeah, and I love that the vision that you had when they were young, that hey, you know, they're only gonna be, you know, this age, you know, a child for a limited time, but they're an adult for, you know, a long, 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 long time. And I always kid people. I mean, I see that you have six children. Is that right?
No, I have three.
Three children. Okay.
Diane and I together have six.
Okay.
Between our families.
Between your family. So three kids, and I have four kids. And people are always like, well, why'd you have so many kids? I mean, I'm like, four is not that many, really. But I was like, I want choices when I get older. I need to live someplace. And I laugh about it, but part of my saying that is that I want that relationship.
Exactly.
With my children. I want that friendship when they're older. So I'm not friends with them now, but I will be when they're young adults and then the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And having that leadership in my home and that coaching
exactly.
approach. So that they feel safe and secure. And it also helps the kids know that, hey, we're all a team together. It's not
exactly.
just mom. It's not just dad and sister here and brother here. We are all a team together. And that's one of the things I really hope that all this quarantine and social distancing will really help families realize they've been going in so many different directions. I'm really hoping they can reconnect and become that team again.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I'll tell you that having my college kids come home has been a really, I mean, it's been mixed because my heart goes to them. I feel for them. My middle kid is a senior in college.
Ooh.
What a lousy, lousy thing to have happened as a senior in college. So that was really, really hard. But on the other hand, like, my kids are so grateful that they wanted to come home.
Yeah.
That they were happy to come home. That if they had to be quarantined somewhere, they were glad to be here. Not only with us, but with each other.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? And so we've actually, because we've cultivated these relationships over the years, it's like housemates or roommates or everybody's pitching in and everybody's
mm-hmm.
doing different things. And there's no stress. I mean, I think in the 8 weeks, I think there's been one kind of fight, and it was totally my fault.
Yeah.
I was tired, and I was a little sad. And
yeah.
You know, and it was all about me, and I didn't handle something well, you know?
Yep. Yeah. We've all been there, Elaine, so.
Like, welcome to the world.
I know. Well, things have been a little crazier in my house because, mm-hmm. like I said, I have four children, and they're all trying to, my oldest ones are doing AP exams this week, and I'm grateful that they're doing them, but they've been a little extra stressed about it.
Yeah,
and
of course.
We have a preschooler foster child with us, too, who's on the spectrum, and so she has a few extra challenges. So, but on the other hand, we have pulled together as a family.
Yeah.
And we are helping each other and looking out for each other and pitching in and doing things. So it
so
has been wonderful.
I'm curious about something that I'm noticing, that I have noticed throughout this year as the pandemic has been ongoing, is I've noticed a lot of struggling with the parents of younger kids.
Mm.
Right? Kids mm-hmm. like 5 to 8.
Yep.
And what I'm seeing is that the older kids seem to have some perspective on it and have been able to sort of, they know they went to school, they know they're going to go back to school, they know, like, the older kids seem to be handling it better. They've already got some social world. The younger kids, it's like we sent them away to school, and then they got sent back, and they're regressing.
Yeah.
They kind of don't really know how to handle it, so I was getting tons and tons of calls from parents of six-year-olds, right,
mm-hmm.
who were really struggling. Because and so I've got some theories about it, but I just thought it'd be kind of interesting to talk about.
Yeah, no, I love that. I've noticed that as well, Elaine. And I think here's my theory. Maybe our theories will match up. Maybe they'll be divergent. Who knows? Stay tuned. I think that part of the problem is that the older kids have learned a little bit more on how to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
And how to be by themselves
mm-hmm.
or to not be in school and that sort of thing. And a lot of what I'm getting is that they don't know what to do with their kids, and their kids just have they've never had this much free time.
Mm-hmm.
And kids who have been really structured, and a lot of the younger kids are super structured
because
parents
yeah.
don't want to deal with the messiness that comes with a six-year-old who, you know, takes out 5,000 toys. That's partly my
school day.
Yeah.
You know, they're highly, highly structured
mm-hmm.
classrooms, you know, for most kids,
younger
kids. That's a great observation.
Yeah, that's my theory. I just think that that structure is gone.
Yeah.
And when that structure leaves and parents cannot replicate it
mm-hmm.
at home, and no matter what distance learning stuff you're doing, it's not taken all day in most places. I mean, my sixth grader is on the computer. He has class like 2 hours a day.
Of course, he's 11, a little older than our time frame, where age range we're talking about. But I think that that has something. So what are your theories, Elaine?
So my theory is, and keep in mind, I work with parents of complex kids. So
right.
Kids who
right.
struggle with some kind of life and learning generally
yes.
anyway. Not completely, but predominantly. And so my theory is that part of what's been happening is that we don't realize how much we're asking of kids to do the basics of life. To get up, get dressed,
yep.
go out the door, go to school, sit in your chair at school,
oh,
get
yeah.
along with your friends. Like, we ask a lot of kids developmentally that we're not really aware that they're working hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they're working hard to be able to sit in their chair and not hit their friends and whatever. And I'm talking, again, about that younger age group. And so I think when we added this quarantine onto it, a lot of these kids, we didn't really realize that what we were asking of them was a lot to be in the house all the time, not have a schedule and a structure,
mm-hmm.
not know what to expect, have parents being around that are kind of anxious, and maybe the news is on more, or maybe, like, all these changes in their environment that they didn't know how to be with. And so all of a sudden, they're having to handle all of this new stuff that we're not aware that we're asking them to handle,
yes,
but we
yeah.
are. And so there's only so much executive function that they have the capacity to handle. So by handling that, they're not handling things they were handling before, like getting themselves a bowl of cereal independently or getting dressed independently or other things that they could have done before. They're kind of regressing because now they're being asked to do other things that we're not even really aware we're asking. Does that resonate?
Yes. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think about our preschooler.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's, and we've recognized this, you know, we're trained therapeutic foster parents, so we ought to know a little bit more. And, you know, there's only so much structure we can provide, and we realize that bothers her.
Yeah.
And so we've been trying to have more patience when she's, you know, screams and hits when she gets frustrated. And so we've been having to help her calm and deal with that and the changes, and we realize, and there's a lot of other stuff going on with her that, you know, we have to help manage. But as you were talking, I was like, yeah, it is asking
like
a lot.
It's like a load.
It
like,
is.
There's only so much load they can bear.
Yeah, and I think that even for kids who aren't complex or don't have other issues, you know, we've tried in our own home, we've tried to be cognizant of that and just kind of, you know, trying to have a little more relaxed, you know, atmosphere, trying to dial down our expectations on school or on what you're going to do. There are a few things that we toe the line. I'm like, you'd really have to get dressed to attend class.
Yeah,
it just
fair.
Helps. I think that's fair.
But that's a lot of what we talk about in the impact model that we teach is shifting expectations and meeting our kids where they are developmentally, not where we wish they were chronologically.
And right. recognizing that these are extraordinary times.
Yes.
And if we're having trouble as adults adjusting to it, and let's face it, most of us are doing a pretty bad job of it sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah, I know. Let's just recognize that our kids are going to have the same thing, but they may not be able to verbally tell us, hey, this is driving me crazy. It may be an extra tantrum. It may be in a more sullen response to things. It may be wanting to retreat more to video games or comfort, you know, eating more. I mean, my girls have been baking like you would not believe.
Yep.
But thank goodness there's so many kids in the house that I hardly get any of it, so I'm, like, thankful for that.
Yeah, good for you.
I know. Like, what? There was brownies? I didn't get you. you know, that kind of thing. So we have to kind of recognize that, you know, we shouldn't have the same expectations.
Mm-hmm. No,
yes,
we have to set expectations for where we are, not where
we
should be. We have to stop shooting all over ourselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
At the end of the day, that's really what it's about.
It is, and we are, oh my goodness, we are almost out of time. So I know I want to listen. You have an offer for my podcast, listeners, the 10 Tips for Calm and Confident Parenting of Complex Kids.
kids. And they
absolutely.
Can they find that on your website? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
That is a great question. I didn't know if they were giving you a link.
Oh, I have a link. So
you have a link?
I do have a link. Yeah, it's on, yes, you can get, they're on with this podcast. There's a link to that. So please, she's giving this free. It sounds like a great tip no matter where you are in your parenting. So please come to the website with this and download that.
Or you can always go to impactadhd.com. There's always several free tip sheets, and we have a number on calm and confident parenting. We have one on motivation, so people can come to the website and click the button Start Here, and you can download a couple of different tip sheets for free as well.
Right,
whatever's easier for you.
Yes.
Just get help if you're going to get help somewhere.
Yes, right? Exactly. And your book, The Essential Guide to Raising Complex Kids with ADHD, Anxiety, and More, is out in September. So
yes, September 1st.
Look for
and
that.
It's available for pre-sale before that, if people happen to hear this before that.
Yes.
And if people buy it early, then we've got some supplement with it, one of which is The Essential Guide, the supplement to living in a quarantine.
Yeah, I know, because we all need those kind of extra help. So thank you so much for being on my program today, Elaine.
It was truly a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking to Elaine Taylor-Klaus. She's an author, parent educator, and certified coach, and you can find out more about how to connect with her with the notes for this podcast.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast of You've Got This with Sarah Hammerker. Sign up to receive notification of new podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerker.com. Until next time, remember, parenting might be hard sometimes, but don't worry, you've got this.